Michael, let's talk a little bit about the technology that was used with the ancients, these electronic measuring devices, your thoughts on the electromagnetic waves and ground-penetrating radar, which is showing some real strange things down there as well. This is truly, I think, could be one of the biggest stories of all time.
Yeah, I think, you know, once this information gets out there and people that are at the leading edge of this kind of research and information will hopefully step up to the plate and get involved, because it really needs a whole team of bright minds to come and investigate and explore and analyze this, because it's truly, we've made measurements there that baffle us. It's beyond anything that we measure on Earth. So just to explain to the listeners what I'm talking about here, first of all, I reached the conclusion that the stone circles were used as energy devices. They were generating energy by tapping into the sound frequencies of Mother Earth, just like Nikola Tesla suggested we can do. And what spurred me to reach that conclusion was the unusual shape of these stone circles, that each and every one is unique. And then I realized that what these stone circles actually represent are the cymatic shapes of the sound frequencies as they reach the surface of the Earth. It's really just the representation. So each circle is like a plug point into the natural energy fields, the sound frequency energy fields of the Earth. And they knew how to do this, and they obviously did this with great success. They also knew how to amplify this sound frequency, and when we read the translations of Sitchin, that, you know, with Enki built an earth splitter with which to make a gash in the earth to create the tunnels for the heroes to go and get to the golden veins underground. I believe we found these circles, and some of them are very specific circles that reflect what in electronics or in electricity, in electronics is referred to as magnetrons. And we're dealing with these giant stone magnetrons that can generate huge amounts of energy beyond what we could imagine today.
Are these circles perfectly carved out circles, Michael?
No, this is the other thing. You know, it is so frustrating when you start working with this stuff, because it flies in the face of all our logic today, of what we would deem to be, well, perfection and technology and advanced stuff. You know, it's completely the opposite. And that's why it's taken so long to realize how advanced these guys really were. Because it's not about the perfection, it's about understanding the flow of energy, the laws of nature, as I said earlier, the sacred geometry. That all this is all they did. They put the sacred geometry into practice and using sound coming out of the earth. Now, as I mentioned, some of them are in the shape of magnetrons. Mm-hmm. And you see them very clearly. They look like giant flowers. When you look from aerial photographs, they look like giant flowers made out of stones. And they just pack these stones on top of each other. And remember that stones conduct energy. They conduct electricity. This is not commonly known by the average person on the street. Stone conducts electricity. And it's often called single wire earth return in the electricity supply people. You know, they don't run two wires up to a remote place. They run one wire up there, and then they run the feed through the ground back.
And what kind of stone are they?
This is the special thing. You know, it took 500 years for the first person, which is me, to ask, well, what kind of stone were these circles made of? I'm amazed that it's taken that long. It's quite an obvious question, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is.
But it's only when I asked myself that question and said, well, I need to see for myself what kind of stone these circles are made of, if it's just any random stone or if it's a specific kind of stone. And that was actually probably the most significant discovery, when I realized that most of the circles, and especially the original circles, before they were rehashed by people, in more recent times, were made from a very special kind of stone called Hornfels. It's a metamorphosized quartzite. silica dioxide that contains large amounts of iron and aluminium or aluminum, and has very strong acoustic properties.
It's a conductor.
It's a conductor because of the iron. It is a receptor of, well, it conducts sound energy very, very successfully. They ring like bells. I must add this immediately. These stones sound like you're hitting pieces of metal against each other. So they ring like bells. They have strong acoustic properties. And they also, because they're silica dioxide, quartzite, they also have the same properties as crystals. That's what they are. Remember, crystals are silica dioxide.
Sure.
So we're dealing with very specialized stones that were specifically chosen for this job, not just any random stones. And it's when I discovered this and I realized we're dealing with sound. But, as I'm looking at this, I'm realizing that it runs a lot deeper than that, but we'll leave that for a later discussion, because it seems like they were using not just these hornfels, but I know they've been using other just quartzite as well, quartz and sandstone, for other specific reasons. And George, this stuff is so weird, man, because they make us look like idiots in today's world. You know,
was this kind of technology passed on to ancient Egypt as well for the pyramids?
I believe so. And I actually made this amazing discovery just a few days ago in up Northern California near Sacramento, near San Francisco. I'm losing my track now because I've traveled so many cities now. I went to a museum, the Rosicrucian Museum,
okay,
where I found the same kind of stone tools that I'm finding in South Africa that I believe Ed Leet Skalnin used to build Coral Castle with. And we are I'm starting to find the common denominators that is allowing me to make some startling conclusions about how they used the sound frequency. And I believe that the Egyptians would have used the same kind of technology. And the reason I say that is because what we think is an Egyptian symbol, the ankh, is actually, its origins are in South Africa. There are thousands of carvings carved into this bedrock called near Jacob's Eiland, near Kimberley, where all the diamonds originally were found, right? And there are thousands of these carvings that are Sumerian symbols, like the cross in a circle, the winged Sumerian winged disc is carved out on some stones near my house where I live now. There are The ankh is carved out in a radiating circle, the Egyptian ankh. And except these carvings that I'm referring to, and there are thousands of these carvings that can be linked to all these northern hemisphere civilizations that we think are the great civilizations of the ancient times. Well, all of them can be traced to their origins in South Africa and Southern Africa long before they existed in the north.